Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com. Thank you for listening. We are coast to coast, nationwide, around the world. And if you're not a Fed in the first 5 minutes, we'll try harder.
You're not listening. Yeah. I'm not listening.
Apparently not. Yeah.
No, I got nothing in my headphones.
You got nothing in your headphones? Well, how is that possible? Oh, are you plugged into number two? Can you hear it now?
Oh, now I can.
Okay, that's why. Because you can't hear it because I didn't have the volume turned up. Does that beep you or me?
I think I claim ignorance.
Okay. I promise the rest of the show will be smooth. You
know? We were probably bleeping something out already.
Oh, probably. Yeah, just thoughts in general. Because I'm going to have to watch it today. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I'm pretty fired up. So, I'm Brian Drake, he's Scott, and what are we going to talk about first?
I heard there was some kind of conflict with a country who had a border, and people just crossing the border and
they flew over,
doing whatever they wanted.
Flew over on hang gliders. And yeah, so what are we on? Day five or six now of the fighting in between Israel and Gaza. We're recording this on Wednesday. We're going to air Saturday. So by the time we air, things will have changed. But
no, it might be over.
No.
No, their last war only lasted 6 days.
Well, yeah, but I think this one's going to go a little longer. This one might take a couple of months. Just my guess.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm super curious. Not in a happy way.
Right. I mean, first of all, before we get into it, first of all, yes, support Israel. They have a right to exist, and they were needlessly attacked by people that just...
I mean, I can't imagine somebody's listening
really
to this.
I really got to watch it.
Next Saturday or beyond on recordings aren't aware that Israel was attacked by Hamas.
Yeah.
That their border was breached in over 20 places. And mm-hmm. I think that the death count in Israel is upwards of 1,000.
Over 1,000, yeah. We have, as of 20 minutes ago, as of this recording, 22 Americans among the dead in the fight. And concern that the speaker race here in the United States may affect anything we send Israel in terms of funding or weapons. And, of course, Israel now, their political parties, the opposition parties, they're all saying, let's put aside our differences for now and unite as one, which is pretty serious. And, we have another headline here from CBS. As of an hour ago, Israel hammers Hamas-ruled Gaza with fourth night of airstrikes as Israel uncovers atrocities at a kibbutz. Is that how you say it?
I stopped trying to pronounce Hebrew a long time ago.
Okay. Well, at some settlement, they found some very disturbing things. And, of course, we have some of our own people not helping things. Republican lawmakers pushing to censure Rashida Tlaib over her response, which is to support the Palestinians. The lady from Minnesota, Omar, the one that married her brother, she's supporting Palestine and AOC. I mean, we've got, you know, the enemies in the tent. And that's a little disturbing.
Well, those three, you should just come to expect some kind of irrational statement from them. They should just be censored completely until this is over.
I wish they weren't even holding office. And it's like, I would love to have a chat with the so-called Americans that voted them into office and ask them what they were thinking.
The fall's under crazy on the way, right? We started a new segment.
It does. Yeah, okay. So
what's the crazy on the way to the show?
Let's do that. Well,
some of these quotes fall into, I can't believe that they would say things in support of Hamas's brutal, it's murder and kidnapping. They're taking women and children and videotaping it, publicizing it, like...
Yeah,
it's horrendous.
It is, and I am cautious of getting too emotionally involved and taking a lot of things at face value, especially these videos, because a lot of it is propagandized material that they're trying to get a reaction out of people, either to support one side or the other, or neither, and it's I'm just trying to stick with the facts here and just not get too riled up, because it's, I mean, after 9/11, I was like, let's just turn the Middle East into a parking lot and let God sort everyone out. But it's like, I need to just, you know, step back and not respond that way, which,
yeah, let's have a little more restraint than that, Brian.
Yeah. And if as we're talking about this, if I sound like I'm hesitating, it's because I'm trying not to say anything that will get us, canceled or, you know, upset the Muslims too much. And I'm going to do my best.
Well, you got to be paying attention to this, though. I mean,
oh, of course,
this is scary. Like they're setting up, Israel's setting up a war cabinet now with opposing political party entities are all joining forces. Mm-hmm. Like they have unified Israel.
Yeah.
And they sound, Netanyahu was saying he was going to take the Gaza Strip and just, it would become just a land of rubble and ruins.
Oh, they should turn it into a strip mall, put a Starbucks there and
apparently they've warned everybody, you need to get out of Gaza if you want to live.
They did that.
We're going to destroy the place.
After the attack, yeah. So you've got 24 hours and then we're going in. And they,
it's not good for the world for Israel to be at war.
No.
Or for Palestine to be at war. It's just either side.
No. No, because, I mean, we have a treaty. I mean, we're going to defend or going to try to help as much as we can. Hopefully with, I mean, money, weapons, okay. They buy enough of our stuff as it is. I don't want to see American troops there. I know we have carrier groups in the area that we sent over the weekend. And that's a little close for me. Syria is threatening to get involved. In fact, there was some shelling from Syria yesterday that landed in Israel, and now they're like, well, we're going to hit Damascus. If they hit Damascus, Russia gets involved because they have a treaty with Syria. And if Russia gets involved with Syria, then it's really going to push us close. I mean, this whole thing could explode into a much greater conflict than and probably faster than what's been going on in Ukraine. I mean, we thought Ukraine was going to be the powder keg that might spark World War III, and now we've gone south. So it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, the trouble, I mean, there's so many different problematic things in this. Mm-hmm. But just the geography, you know, Ukraine and Russia, that's pretty distant from most other countries. You get into the Middle East and Palestine, Israel area, that's tied to almost everybody.
They're all so close. They're all very close together.
Yeah. And then you got the religious fanatics talking about end times and mm-hmm. all the world powers coming together to fight each other. And it's supposed to happen in Israel. That famous Armageddon phrase, mm-hmm. right? It's from the Valley of Megiddo in Israel.
Ah.
So there's a lot of people paying attention and panicked about this. And
mm-hmm. I don't know if I would say panic, because
doomsday people, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah,
we're all gonna die. And
well, yeah, there is that. I wouldn't mind the credits rolling on this whole situation and the planet Earth in general, because I think we've had enough. But it's of course it helps that I know where I'm going, so you know, it's easy for me to say. But <it's, laughs> but yeah, it's a sad, unfortunate situation. And
I think the whole world's paying attention.
Yeah,
right. I mean, and to segue, I know there's at least two people who weren't paying attention while they were driving today.
Okay,
I almost died twice.
Okay, yeah, let's do your crazy on the way, then I'll get to mine.
I'm just on my way here, and no matter what, I seem to run into crazy. This construction guy in a truck with a rack. I'm driving down the road, regular pace, mm-hmm. and he's right in front of me. And almost he actually started his left hand turn right in front of me as I'm coming at him. He got into my side of the road, and I'm like, panic, like I'm just starting to slow down a little bit, and like, did you see me? And then all of a sudden the whole truck jerks to a stop, like he jammed the brakes and the whole thing's like, were you not looking
mm-hmm.
no, ahead of you where you were going?
No, of course not.
So I'm approaching another parking lot right as this is happening, And this lady coming out of the parking lot, she's not out to the curb yet, but she was obviously not going to stop. And she saw me start to slow a little bit and thought she was going to just like sneak in. Well, I just slowed a little bit. I didn't stop.
Right.
And then she has to jam on the brakes to keep from hitting me too. And I'm like, I'm going to get sandwiched here between a truck and a Jeep. My little car, man, I was about, yeah. I almost went Armageddon myself. Yeah. I was almost gone.
I understand. Yeah, nobody's paying attention.
It would have been the Drake show.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine just me by myself?
Scott with no tees.
That's right. Yeah, nobody pays attention. They drive like they own the road, and then a lot of cases they drive too fast. Have you noticed your insurance rates going up a little at all?
Insurance rates, interest rates, everything's going
well. Well, that's because everybody, you know, nobody was driving during the lockdown. Now everybody's back on the road and they're all driving like maniacs. So there's been a lot more accidents going on. So all the insurance rates have gone up.
Yeah.
So anyway, my crazy
human nature.
Yeah. Yeah. My crazy on the way wasn't as bad. I came here following Vineyard Avenue. I passed by the ritzy Ruby Hill Estate, which is this big gated community. And out of the gate came somebody in the Tesla truck. It's the first time I've seen it in person. And
did it have like that modified camouflage coloring thing?
It was kind of a grayish color.
But I mean, camouflage is camouflage. Like when you see a camouflage.
Yeah, it didn't. I mean, it didn't look like, you know, green camouflage like the Army has.
No, yeah, I saw one on the road a while back, and it had this weird camouflage. Like they had some. I almost want to say pink or turquoise.
All I know is it is the ugliest darn vehicle I have ever seen, and it's all sharp edges. It looks like something made on a computer animation from 1985. And
Bizarro Superman looking.
It's just, I can't understand, number one, why they designed it that way. Number two, why anybody would want it. I guess it's the
it's futuristic, Brian.
I guess so. I don't.
You could drive on the moon with it.
I see. Okay.
Does look like a moon lander.
It does. It looks like something out of science fiction. But
it looks horrible.
The ugliest car or ugliest vehicle I've ever seen.
How amazing is it have to be for somebody to drive something that looks like that?
Well, I don't know if it's so amazing. Other than this person could afford it. Because if you live on Ruby Hill, you can pretty much afford anything. And they wanted to have the latest and greatest and be first on the block.
Or the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I knew they were testing it and they had it out on the roads to see how it would do and troubleshooting and taking out the kinks. And
I understand. Yeah, first time I've seen it. And I wasn't impressed with the pictures, and I'm really not impressed with the
So you're passing on it so far?
I'm not an electric car guy, no. I will hold on to my gasoline engines, and you're going to have to pry the keys out of my hands, out of my cold, dead hands, just like my guns. And you can't take my car because I have my guns. You got to get the guns first.
Wow. Maybe we should send you over to the conflict.
Oh, yes. I can you imagine the peace and quiet we'd have if there were no Arabs? I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud?
You. I need one of those mute buttons for you.
Yeah, we.
Where's Ziggy when you need him?
Yeah, well.
Ziggy's on hiatus this week for those of you who are.
He's on the every other week schedule.
Ziggy fans.
Yeah.
I miss Ziggy.
We are coming up on a break. I just want to follow up on something we talked about last episode, the Kaiser Permanente strike. It turned out not to be a long-term thing. It was a three-day work stoppage, and as far as I know, they're still talking about stuff. But we had speculated this might be a pretty big strike, and it turned out not to be. So,
well, what? So they did the 3 days, right? The full 3 days?
Yes. Let's just call up the article here. This is.
Well, I know someone who had an appointment on the Thursday, and I was asking them. I was like, "Do you think you're still having an appointment?" They're like, "I don't know. Well, have you gotten anything?" Just the blanket statement that Kaiser sent out to all its members. You know, we still support the attempt to fair labor and, you know, comparable wage costs and da da da. And we're negotiating for the best, you know, for all that in the care of our patient. I said, great. I don't want to hear the company line.
Yeah.
Are you going to have an appointment?
Yeah. Can I see my doctor? I've got the.
Yeah. So they had their appointment. I said, well, how'd it go? Is it delayed? And it, Was it terrible? Was it what was it like? Oh, we're out of time.
Yeah, we're
good. They said it went off without a hitch.
Oh, wow.
They said it was no big deal.
Huh.
Like,
yeah, it covered 75,000 healthcare workers, 3 days. It ended last Saturday.
Well, for this guy who had an appointment, the 3-day work stoppage had no effect.
Had no effect. Well,
so
then what's the point of striking?
Ineffective.
Yeah. All right, Drake and Scott back after this. Drake and Scott on Radioslot.com. 999 and Homicide. Song I heard on the way to the studio this morning. It's a UK band. I'm going to have to...
Fun on the way.
Yeah.
Instead of crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do some more research on these guys. I haven't heard them before. So, we had a women's job fair the other day. And
we had one?
I shouldn't say we. I mean the collective we. I should say there was
so progressive,
Brian. I know, I understand. No, but there was
you're branching out.
That's right. This was a job fair for women in tech, and where did it take place? In Florida, Orlando, Florida. So there have been a lot of layoffs in the tech industry lately, and apparently jobs are so tight that a bunch of men lied about their gender status, calling themselves either women or non-binary, and they used that as a way to get into the conference and get access to some of the people that were hiring here. Now, this was not a protest. This was apparently people that are desperate to get their resumes in front of...
This is people looking for work.
Yeah. So, the quote here, you could feel the cutthroatness. Droves of men took over this woman's tech fair. And sponsored by the Grace Hopper Celebration, they took...
cutthroatness?
Yeah.
That's not very feminine.
No, I guess not. But they do this every year, and when they open the doors, apparently they had to tell everybody to stop running into the room where all the job people were. And this was not an orderly job fair. They all rushed in there like they were starving. It's a 4-day event. Tickets ranged anywhere from $649 to just under $1,300. So they... anyone who could afford that.
Sounds like a work shopping event.
Talking to recruiters, passing out resumes, meeting one-on-one with sponsors such as Apple, Amazon, Salesforce, and Google. 30,000 attendees, and it was crashed by a bunch of dudes, and everyone was a little upset. But yeah, this wasn't a protest. This was, I mean, you can make jokes. I don't know. I see it more as people really desperate for a chance to find a new job after being laid off for a certain amount of time. I mean, after 2008, I think I was out of work for 3 years. So, I mean, I get it. But they couldn't tell the men to leave, by the way, because they have a non-discrimination policy. So it's like,
where are the feminists?
Yeah, well, they...
They've disappeared.
Yeah, they... there were plenty of feminists there. This is kind of not just a job fair, but a chance for women to network and be in a safe space. And then all these dudes were ruining that. And the organizer took to the stage and told everybody, you know, you lied to get in here and you're causing trouble. You should stop it right now. You know,
So if you identify as a fake woman, now you're a liar?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, none of them were taking the guys seriously for putting either I identify as a woman or non-binary on their resumes and using that as an excuse to get in. And,
well, when you have two ideologies that conflict, they don't know what to do.
Right.
I mean, these extreme ideologies conflict, mm-hmm. and no one's asking the question, okay, which one's rational?
Well, all they can do here is...
Or most rational.
All they can do is complain instead. One of the organizers, a lady named Bo Young Lee, she said the conference was robbed of its usual joyous and supportive atmosphere that had previously helped women grow. We try to create a safe space, and this week we saw the outside world creep in. We may not have solutions tomorrow, but we're going to be working on it. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Have a man-only job fair.
Well, yeah, there's that.
No, this is when you allow discrimination mm-hmm. of any kind, you're going to get more discrimination.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't do that because they have a policy, so they couldn't kick out the guys. But it's like if they want to have their own little party, that
no, they don't have a policy because he called them liars from the stage.
Well, so. No, but they didn't tell anyone to leave either.
Well, so. You're telling them to leave, whether you're saying you need to leave or right. not. I mean, calling them a liar, you're basically telling them to leave. So but nobody, do you have a policy or not?
Yeah, well, but the guys didn't leave, and there was really no physical action they could take.
Well, this is in all these kind of scenarios, no one knows what to do. Mm-hmm. Do you actually call women women and men men, or right. do people that identify as one or the other or different, do they get to be validated? And we're finding out in more and more scenarios, there's no way to have a set it's answer like
you, yeah, you could,
for
you,
every scenario.
Yeah, you could say those things, and then when you put it into practice, in this case, it's different. I don't know. I don't – tech workers are – you know, I just remember 20 years ago around here, you know, rent wasn't terrible, and then all the tech workers started moving in, and they started driving up the prices. So if tech workers are having a problem, I really don't have a lot of sympathy.
No, these are tech not workers.
Well,
they're not, looking for work.
Yeah, they're not working now, but they were previously, and they move into places, drive up the cost of housing, and make people that aren't making $500,000 a year not have a lot of options.
Do and you then, want tech workers who don't know the technical difference between men and women?
Well, no. I mean, these are the guys that are going to fly us to Mars eventually. And no, I don't. But but I also don't have, I also find some joy in their suffering because they've certainly caused enough.
You're just mean, with, Brian.
I'm just
so mean.
It's Brian Drake's naked cruelty. Yeah, I get it.
You identify as mean.
Yeah. So anyway, that happened last week and it's somewhat amusing.
You know how they could have solved it though.
What?
Just charge the men a tax on their way in.
Well,
like if you're a man, you have to pay more.
They
because that works.
No, it doesn't work.
Are you sure it doesn't work?
It didn't work in Australia. There is, hang on. There is an Australian cafe. They charged a man tax, and nobody showed up. Not even women. Plus, it was a vegan cafe, so right there, you know, two strikes.
So this is
from Reuters.
If you want to keep the men out, make it a vegan event.
Yeah.
They just won't come.
You don't
have to charge a tax.
Yeah. A vegan cafe in Australia that charged men an 18% premium to reflect the gender pay gap with the funds given to charity is to close. Opened up in 2017. A place called Handsome Her in Melbourne caused online and a media storm when a photograph of a chalkboard outside the cafe explained a voluntary man tax and women priority seating. Some praised the idea, others called it reverse sexism, and said...
Voluntary tax.
Oh, how about that?
That
I didn't notice that on my first read.
No, it's just contradictory.
Uh-huh. Anyway, nobody showed up, and now the place is closing, and...
I want to make an official statement that I love vegan people.
Do you, though?
And I love vegetarians.
Okay.
I do. I love all of them. The gluten-free people, the peanut allergy people. I love all of them.
All they do is wine.
No, they provide more food for me.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Yeah, because then there's more stuff for me to eat. Because
I understand. They,
anybody who wants to cut something out of their diet, I'm 100% supportive.
Okay, because then it's more for, okay, more for you.
More for me. I mean.
I get, okay.
It's a selfish policy.
I have to be careful here. I do have a family member that is a vegan. And,
wait, you don't
and,
have to be careful with family.
No. Yes.
No, you can be abusive to family.
It's
the only place you can get away with it.
I shouldn't have said they whine, even though a lot of them do. So no, I do have to be careful. She has her reasons and that's fine. But it just seems like the more you run into vegans, the more they want to get upset with you for your choices. And then I suppose it's a response to everybody ridiculing them for their choices. And okay, but I don't know. I just think it's funny that the cafe is closing.
Goodbye. Bye.
Now, there is something on Twitter the other day. Where is it on the list here? Yeah, it was a suggestion on Twitter that you can go to Google and type in, is fill-in-the-blank racist, and you would find an article or somebody saying that what you filled in the blank with was racist. Now, we got 10 seconds here before the break. So let's type in, is breathing racist? Effect of air pollution and racism on ethnic differences. That's the first one, National Institute of Health.
Well, this is the problem with the internet.
Somebody wrote a book here called, it's on Amazon, Breathing is Racist, Check Your Privilege, Mother Nature, a treatise for
anybody
the ages.
Can write a book. You can find something on anything.
It's about time someone said it. Yeah. Oh gosh. This. Anyway, that's a self-published book, so maybe it doesn't count. But yeah, if you're bored and want to amuse yourself later, go to Google, type in "is blank racist," and you will find some stuff to have a laugh at. We'll be back right after this. Greg and Scott on Radioslot.com, back with you, and we want to talk a little more about Israel, apparently, because there's a couple things we didn't cover in the first segment.
Well, this is going to be a topic for a while.
It'll be, yeah, for sure, and there's ever-changing as time goes on.
There's so many angles on this.
Yeah, you had mentioned during the break the fact that we gave Iran $6 billion, and then a couple of days later this happens. Do you think there's a connection?
Well, Hamas is claiming that Iran was directly involved.
Yeah, they're saying Iran was involved. Meanwhile, the CIA and Mossad are like, we're not sure. Duh. And,
of course, you mean the intelligence community is not sure about something?
As someone who writes espionage fiction, I understand that we tend, you know, authors and screenwriters, et cetera, we puff up the intelligence communities and make them look like superheroes. And then everybody's surprised when something like this happens in real life and nobody saw it coming. The problem is, you know, your intelligence agencies are just like any other government agency. Someone once told me the CIA is like the post office, except with spies. So, you know, you can imagine the post office is as dreary as that is, and there's your CIA. Another person was like, how did Mossad miss this? And it's like, well, Mossad has missed a lot of things over the years. If you remember their response to the Munich massacre, when they went out and killed a bunch of people that were allegedly involved, a lot of those targets were either not involved, and one of them was completely innocent. It was a case of mistaken identity. They shot him anyway. There's a little more to it than that, but it's like they've screwed up things in the past, and so I'm not surprised they could miss this sort of thing, even though it was quite large. Egypt apparently warned them about it, which surprised me, and they were like, nah.
Well, isn't it a failure to assume perfection anywhere?
Well, yeah, but like I said, you know, but when you
except in that sentence,
right? But when
it's a perfect sentence.
Yeah, when you're dealing with the pop culture influence on things, though.
Well, if you're assuming that Mossad is perfect in their intelligence, or that the Palestinian position is perfect in their position, or that anything that you like or dislike is perfectly good or perfectly evil, mm-hmm. that's so irrational to assume perfection,
right?
Where do we see perfection anywhere in nature?
No, well, yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, there's always going to be shortcomings and failings, and that's the problem is we've developed a culture where perfection is the standard, mm-hmm. and it's totally irrational.
Right. Yeah, there's a story here from today saying the U.S. intelligence analysts so far are saying that Iran was actually surprised by the attack and not directly involved, analysis and collection ongoing, et cetera, et cetera.
But do they think we're stupid? Like, are they stupid or do they think we're stupid? Because one of those has to be true. Iran didn't know anything about this. I mean, that's like saying, yeah, we're going to give them $6 billion to get a couple hostages back. And they got hostages back. Should be a fair trade, mm-hmm. just for hostages. But then all of a sudden there's $6 billion going to Iran. A few days later, they do this. It's like, well, but none of that money's been sent to Iran yet.
Well,
you don't have to send it yet. If they know it's coming, mm-hmm. they can use other funds to.
Yeah, knowing those funds will then be replaced. But you know, Hamas, though, has said, yeah, Iran knew all about this. So it's a case of who you're going to believe. So,
yeah.
So I don't know.
You
know,
that's just a whole level of crazy. You know, no, they can only use this money for humanitarian mm-hmm. needs. Well, they consider their self-existence humanitarian need, and Israel's an enemy. They can justify it any way they want, sure. Or they can just lie to our face, which I think they're doing both.
Yeah, it could be.
So
yeah, I'm trying not to get emotionally involved in it.
you know what's interesting is we are approaching almost perfection with the U.S. position against this attack. You know, both sides of the aisle, both parties, mm-hmm. are pretty much unanimously condemning the attack. Now, there are the three outliers.
Yeah, I mean, but
when have you seen almost universal agreement from our government on anything?
Well, that's true. But on the flip side of that, you have... I mean, you have the right wing in general. They didn't like what we were doing in Ukraine, but all of a sudden we need to take the Ukraine money and give it to Israel. It's like, well, one war is good and one is bad. It's, you know, and I'd like to see some consistency there. Either you're, you know, say, what's so bad about Ukraine if you're going to just turn around and give all that money to Israel? I mean, can you fill in some of the blanks there for me, or?
It's so convoluted and so messy. Mm-hmm. You know, war's bad, period. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be a perfect statement. I mean, who wins in a war? Nobody.
No, the politicians.
I mean, I would argue everybody loses. I mean,
oh no,
it's violence and death and
Lockheed Martin and Boeing and Raytheon, they make all kinds of money every time we shoot off a bomb or a rocket.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know there's people that are getting rich on this, and certain stocks are going up and certain stocks are going down, and mm-hmm. people are predicting that and making a living off of it. And that's sickening too. But to pick a side and say, my side's right and this is good, that's horrible. I mean, you have all these protests, like people dressing up as terrorists celebrating that Hamas had killed 1,000 people.
And that taking place in London and some places here in the States, then that's a whole other concern. It's like, how many of them are over here? And should we prepare for something similar?
Were they turning a blind eye when all of this has been going on in Russia and Ukraine for a long time? Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's relative truth where, well, I care about it, so it's important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the meme with Zelensky behind his desk and the word balloon was like, "Is now a bad time to ask for another $1 billion?
I don't know. There's some scary ways that this plays out, because this puts NATO and U.S. forces and other players, mm-hmm. if this escalates and they're in the Mediterranean right there, it's a hop, skip, and a jump to Ukraine. Yep. And I guarantee all the powers are paying attention to this and mm-hmm. figuring out where they're going to be. I mean, it has the potential for World War III.
Sure.
Where's dad? Like, when are we going to get some real dads come in and calm this thing down?
Well,
and bring some, which actually, you know, and I say that all the time. Okay. So I want to make the other statement. Mm-hmm. Where's mom? Because in my experience, most rational in my life has come from mom. Parents were divorced and, mm-hmm. you know, but we have to have some sane adults. And I got a thought on this for our post game, by the way, about adults.
We did have sane adults in charge, and they didn't make it past 2020. Did you see how I said that without saying his name?
I would question the sane part of that statement. You're worried about whether you said his name. I'm concerned that you called him sane. Yeah. I'm really concerned, because this is the potential to really escalate, mm-hmm. and it could get much, much worse.
Yeah.
Because if Israel takes harsh enough actions, that'll escalate the Muslim perspective and the countries that back Palestine and what's the phrase? Powder keg?
Yeah.
Mushroom?
Sure. Whew. And don't forget the Samson option. If things get too hot for Israel, they'll set off nukes and destroy themselves and everyone else around them. And then what do we have? Now, the Samson option is a rumor, but it's been written about enough that it's probably true.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the whole thing's pretty scary, and it puts a bad taste on politics for sure, you know, and religion and extremism.
Yeah,
on either side, any side, you know, we have to make room for others. You have to, because if you don't, you eventually will run out of room for yourself, because someone will make the same decision.
Sure.
To not make room for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ugly.
Well, but I mean, let's chase that for a minute. We got a few minutes. So Israel was created in 1948 and they pushed out the Palestinians, and now they're saying like, okay, well, where do we live? So it's like, hasn't that been done? They pushed out one group for another, created a whole new country that wasn't there before, and then suddenly the people that were there are like, well, where do we go?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the root of this problem? Unless you want to take it all the way back to Abraham not keeping his pants zipped.
Well, we're not opening that can
of worms. No, it'd be the Drake and Scott Bible study. You can point to specific parts of in time where, well, this was the start of it, or this was the start of it, but it really actually goes back even further than that.
Well, if you listen to different sides from, or different perspectives, even from the same side, they've yet to agree on when did this actually start?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the early 1900s, the late 1800s, or was it more recent, or, you know, everything would have been fine except for the Six-Day War. And, you know, no one can even agree on where this started and whose was it originally. I have a real lack of faith as to how humans can work this out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, no one's been able to since whenever it started. And if you go back to the Bible, it's pretty clear that these two sides are going to be at each other's necks all the time, and that has certainly played out.
Yeah. Well, I just want to know where are the sane voices, and when will they get the microphone? When can we have the rational people in charge?
I don't know. I mean, the one we have.
I mean, I want something for them that doesn't exist here.
Yeah.
I mean, we have the irrational in charge here, for sure.
Right.
It's just.
And it ain't coming from Canada. There. That's a whole other thing. It might come from Europe. Who knows?
Yeah.
And maybe there won't be. And this is just going to have to play itself out all the way to the end. And with all of the consequences that comes with.
Yeah. So has the Pope said anything about it?
Oh, God. No. That's your segue. Okay, well, totally.
I ask about the Pope and you say, oh, God.
Yeah. I ever tell you I'm not a fan of the Catholic Church? I'm an ex-Catholic, and there's a reason for that. This is a story from The Advocate, of all places. Pope Francis has indicated openness to blessing same-sex relationships in the Roman Catholic Church, with caveats that such blessings should not become the norm and that unions should not be considered the equivalent to marriage. This was part of a question and answer session between the Pope and cardinals that all the questions that they were talking about dealt with subjects of controversy in the church. They were apparently dissatisfied with the Pope's lengthy answers.
Who was dissatisfied? The other
cardinals? The cardinals, yeah. So,
well, they wanted a set answer.
Yes, they wanted a yes or no, and he gave them kind of, sort of. And if, I don't know, I got Catholics in the family that are interesting. When they talk about... you know, religious writings, they quote more of the New Age stuff than they ever do the Bible. I don't think they even read the Bible. I got an uncle who's a deacon who wrote a book, and that was the case there. And then you've got the hardcore traditional conservatives who think I'm going to hell because I'm a Protestant, and they have a different opinion. So it's like, we've already got one war over religion going on. Do we need another one?
Well, but anyway. So this is an interesting article and interesting statements on the Pope's part, because here's what I'm wondering. One, he doesn't call them same-sex marriage. He calls them same-sex unions. So he's teetering on, he's trying to play both sides, right?
Mm-hmm.
So appease one side while still appeasing the other side.
And you're going to piss off both.
Well, and I'm curious because this word blessing, you know, I wonder if he's trying to change the narrative and say, well, instead of us trying to figure out how do we validate this or that position, how about we ask the question, how are we a blessing to people? So I'm super curious because the Pope in general sets a really good example in a lot of things. So I wonder if I'm hoping this is the optimistic optimism.
Okay.
This is the optimism segment with Scott. The third T stands for try. Just okay. Try. Okay. Just try this, right? Maybe he's trying to change the narrative to say, hey, look, we should be asking the question, how do we be a blessing to other people? Because that's a great question. Mm-hmm. And if we spent more time on that question, maybe we wouldn't have all these different conflicts and all these fighting okay. and all these political
I'll give you that. Okay. Because that question is not answered.
Now, how much faith do I have that where he's going with
it? No, it's not. This is him being the typical leftist pope who now wants to just placate everybody and bend a culture
threw all the popes onto the leftist side? Did you just subtly do that?
Well, no, this one in particular.
Oh, this one in particular. Okay, so you're not calling all popes on the leftist side.
This one in particular just loves to cozy up to everything woke, and he bends to culture instead of trying to influence it. Now, if he's taking the tack that you're suggesting, then, you know, okay, well, I just see this as
that was my optimist side. Here's my pessimist side, okay? Here we have another leader failing to answer the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's not pushing the blessing thing, then he's hinting at openness. Well, great. I'm hinting at having steak for dinner. I'd be open to it, but you've not said anything,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm hinting at maybe breathing after this breath.
Okay.
Is that going to happen? I don't know. Oh, it did. Okay. But when you don't answer the question, you know, because people are generally looking for answers mm-hmm. and looking for leadership, whether they want to admit it or not. Your kid asks you a question because they want some direction.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get in direction after the break.
Well, we'll see. Okay.
Because I think I have an interesting post-game report on
all
this.
All right. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Greg and Scott on Radioslot.com, back with our final segment, post-game reports. What are we thinking?
Well, I was spinning on all this stuff, especially Israel and then politics here and some other things in life going on this last week. And mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, you know, as a kid, my parents were all over my case about telling the truth. You know, are you lying? We had somebody calling somebody a liar
mm-hmm.
in one of our stories today, right? Right. This whole, you know, or misrepresenting the truth, that kind of thing. And I remember them; they projected this ideal that adults, mature people with experience and old, that you can trust them because
mm-hmm.
the standard is tell the truth.
Right.
And I developed this thing I'm questioning now, that adults tell the truth.
No, they don't. They teach kids not to lie, yet when you get to be an adult, you see the people that told you that telling their own fuzzy stories, and then some just outright being untruthful about everything.
Yeah, so, well, we have people failing to tell the truth by giving a non-answer
mm-hmm.
so that they can be ambiguous and not be held to something, and then we have manipulative people who want others to tell the truth so that they know where they stand
mm-hmm.
and can manipulate it. But like, where are the adults that tell the truth?
It's a good question.
And this goes back to my phrase that I say all the time. I usually say, where's dad? But I mean, where's the parents?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's the actual adults who tell the truth? And it seems like they're farther and farther between.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to find people anymore who tell you the truth. And, you know, you see it in subtle ways, and, you know, a little lie becomes a bigger lie, and things sure. like marketing. where they kind of represent something. If you use this product, you'll look like this model.
That's right.
You know, if you use this, you'll get healthy.
Drink this beer and become popular. Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't eat this because it's going to be bad for you. Well, you find out later that they didn't want you to eat this because they wanted you to eat something else because they can make money off it.
That's right.
And you're always following the money. And, you know, I thought truth was this ideal. You know, there's a phrase I've heard, many have heard, you know, you shall know the truth and mm-hmm. the truth shall set you free. Mm-hmm. That how do you get freedom and calm and peace? And it is by dealing in truth. I think people have sold out on that. You know, do adults tell the truth? I don't think so.
No.
Generally, people have an agenda and they'll say whatever they need to say. And I think it's getting worse. And it's a sad state of affairs.
Yes. The actor Steve McQueen used to say when he would meet people, I need to figure out their angle. What do they want from me? What are they going to, you know, are they being friendly because they're genuinely nice or do they want something from me? So every interaction he had with people for the long, you know, for a long time before, until he trusted them, that was what he was thinking. You want something from me, you're going to spin a line of BS this way. And I got to find out what it is you're up to before I can go your way or not. And that philosophy's kind of colored my thinking as well, sometimes with unintended consequences.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when you suspect the worst of somebody and, of course, you turn out to be wrong. I mean, that's never fun.
Yeah. So having said all that, I'm not sure it's true. Now, was I telling the truth?
I don't know. I think you
it's are. It's a conundrum.
I think you were telling the truth just fine. And, I found that really ironic when I was growing up. It was like, don't lie, tell the truth. And then after 18, suddenly it wasn't a hard and fast rule anymore.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's just one of those things where you finally get older and you realize everybody's just full of crap. And... You know, there's no...
Well, every once in a while. I mean, that's where you find it. When you find a gem, when you find an honest, genuine person, mm-hmm. they're like gold. You got to hold on to them.
Yeah, very true.
You know, yeah. And the older people, like grandmas and grandpas and with experience, you ever notice they're calm, they're happy, they tell the truth. They're not threatened by anything. Yeah, they're not trying to sell anything or manipulate anybody or whatever.
Well, that's because they've made their money. They don't have anything to prove anymore. So now they can tell everybody the truth.
Or maybe they're asking the question we hope the Pope is asking, how do I be a blessing to other people and stop trying to manipulate everything?
I see. Well, we'll end on that then. Drake and Scott, Radioslot.com. See you next time.